Esme found the pod unsettling. It had no artificial gravity. She had to strap into the passenger racks and hang there facing a ring of ports. The pilot wore an EVA suit. His helmet hung on a drop ring just above him, suggesting that the EVA suit was more sense than worry. Through the pod's wide ports, she could see entirely too much of Sierra Station and its docked vessels, barnacles on a floating wheel. Station hulls of pressurized bulk cargo tanks, gleaming from brightly colored commercial liners, and scarcely revealing the matte dark hulls of fleet vessels, except for pricks of light reflected from shield and weapons fittings. Beyond, a star field with no planets distinguishable. Sierra System had them, but not out here, where the station served primarily out-system transport. Sudden acceleration bumped Esme against the rack and then ceased. Her stomach lagged behind, then lurched forward.
Bag's on the overhead if you need it.
Esme gulped and kept her last meal firmly in place.
We're over there.
The pod pilot nodded to the forward port, a tangle of lights that diverged as they came nearer. Suddenly, a glare as a searchlight from one arm flared across another, revealing the hull surface to be lumpy and dark. And big. Esme could not get used to the scale.
Passenger pod docking access is near the hub. That gives passengers the easiest access to personnel lifts and most admin offices. Cargo shuttles and special cargo pods dock near the inventory bays for the specific cargo. Minimizes interior traffic.
The pilot leaned forward and prodded the control panel. Deceleration shoved Esme against the straps. Closer, closer. She glanced up to the overhead port and saw the vast bulk of the DSR blocking out most of the starfield, then all of it. Exiting the pod into the passenger bay, Esme stepped across the red stripes that signaled where the ship formally began, something that had no relation to its architecture, and saluted the colors painted on the opposite bulkhead. The sergeant at the dock entry looked back and forth from her ID to her face several times.
Lieutenant Suiza. Welcome home, sir. The captain left word he wanted to see you when you came aboard. Shall I call ahead?
Thank you. Can you tell me my bunk assignment?
Yes, sir. You've got number 14 in the junior officers section of T2, cross ship from where we are now. This is the base of T4. Do you want someone to take your duffel down?
No, thanks. I'll just stick it in a temp locker for now.
It's no trouble, Lieutenant. The temp lockers are out of your way to the captain's office anyway.
Thanks, then.
Esme handed over the duffel and accepted the sergeant's directions to the captain's office. Turn left out that hatch, take the second lift up 5 levels to deck 9, then left out of the lift and follow the signs. The wide curving corridor matched the size of the ship. It belonged on an orbital station, not a warship. Esme passed the first bank of lift tubes. The signs made it clear she was on deck 4, which on an ordinary ship would be main. Not that any ordinary ship would have signs. At the second bank of tubes, she stepped in and watched the numbers flash by.
18 decks? What did they put on 18 decks?
Esme stepped out of the lift tube on deck 9. Here, the wide curving corridor that went around the core had the gray tile she associated with main deck in ordinary ships. Across from the lift tube openings, a corridor led away, she supposed, down one of the arms. T5, said the sign on the overhead. A clerk sat at a desk in an open bay to one side.
Ah, Lieutenant Suiza. Yes, sir, the captain wanted to see you right away. Captain Vladis Julian Haken, sir. Just let me buzz the captain.
Esme could not hear any signal, but the clerk nodded.
Go along in, sir. Third on your left.
This captain had had a wooden door substituted for the standard steel hatch. This was not unusual. It was somewhat unusual for it to be closed when a visitor had been announced.
Come in!
Esme opened the door and entered, to find herself facing the top of a gray head. The captain's office had been carpeted in deep green and paneled in wood veneer. The familiar seal hung on the bulkhead behind the captain's desk on one side, and a framed copy of some document, probably his commission, though she couldn't see it, on the other.
Ah, Lieutenant Suiza.
That seemed to be the greeting of the day. In Captain Haken's tone of voice, it sounded more like a curse than a greeting.
I hear they consider you quite the hero on Altiplano.
Local interest, sir. That's all.
I'm glad you realize that.
Yes, sir.
Captain Haken looked up suddenly, as if hoping to catch her in some incriminating expression. Esme met his gaze calmly. She had expected repercussions from the awards ceremony. That was only natural. His gaze flicked down to her uniform, where the silver and gold ribbon was not on the row allotted to non-fleet decorations. By law, she was entitled to wear major awards from any political system within the Familius Regnant. By custom, no one did, unless on a diplomatic assignment, where the failure to wear a locally awarded decoration might insult the giver. Junior officers, in particular, wore no personal awards except when in full-dress uniform. So Esme had the S&S, the ships and service ribbons appropriate to her past service, including the two decorations awarded to Despite's crew for the recent engagement, and, incongruously, the Ship Efficiency Award won under the late Captain Hearn. Traitor Hearn might have been, but her ship had topped the sector in the IG's inspection. Haken's gaze flicked back to hers.
Some captains would be concerned about a junior officer who had been involved in a mutiny, no matter how warranted the action was later shown to be.
I'm sure that's true, sir. There must be some officers who remain concerned even after a court has considered the matter in detail. I can assure the captain that I will not overreact to such concern if anyone expresses it.
You seem very sure of yourself, Lieutenant. How do you know that I'm not one of those so concerned?
Idiot.
His determination to prick her had overcome his good sense. No answer she could give would entirely ease the tension he had created.
Is the captain concerned?
About many things, Lieutenant, of which your potential for mutiny is only one minute particle. I have been assured by those who are supposed to know that the public reports of your court-martial were in fact accurate, that there is no suspicion of your having conspired to mutiny ahead of your captain's treacherous act.
Haken waited. Esme could think of nothing helpful to say.
I shall expect your loyalty, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
And have you no corresponding concern that your next captain might also be a traitor? That I might be in the pay of some enemy?
No, sir. Captain Hearn must have been an aberration.
And the others as well? You're happier than I, if you believe that, Lieutenant. We've had investigators all over every ship in the fleet, and that's reassuring only to those who think the investigators can't be bent. A mess of trouble that Serrano woman caused.
Esme opened her mouth to defend Harris Serrano, and realized it would do no good. If Haken seriously believed that Serrano had caused trouble by unmasking traitors and saving the Familius from invasion, she couldn't change his mind. She could only ruin her own reputation.
Not that she isn't a brilliant commander. I suppose Fleet must count itself lucky to have her back on active status, if we do get into war. I'm told Admiral Vida Serrano is pleased with you. I suppose she would be, since you saved her niece's neck.
That, too, was unanswerable. Esme wished he would get to the point, if his point was not merely to needle her, trying to get some sort of reaction.
I hope you don't have a swelled head from all the attention, Lieutenant, or some kind of psychological trauma from the strain of the court-martial, which I've been warned is sometimes the case, even with a favorable verdict.
No, sir.
Good. I'm sure you're aware that this is a time of crisis for both the fleet and the Familias. No one knows quite what to expect, except that on this ship, I expect everyone to attend to duty. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Very good, Lieutenant. I'll see you from time to time as the mess rotations come around.
He dismissed her with a nod. Esme went out trying to suppress a resentment that she knew would do her no good. No one lasted long in any service with a why-me attitude. In the history of the universe, Papa Stefan had taught them all, life was unfair more often than not. Life wasn't about fair. What it was about had filled more than one evening with explosive argument. Esme handed her order chip to the clerk in the front office.
What's my duty assignment? Do you know?
That's the 14th Heavy Maintenance Yard, Lieutenant. Admiral Dossignol's command. You'll need to report to his admin section. Here.
He sketched out a route on her compad.
Just keep going clockwise around the core, and you'll come to it at the base of T3.
Is the bridge on this deck?
No, sir. The bridge is up on 17. This ship's too big for the usual color codes. There is a system, but it's not standard. We call this command deck because all the commands have their headquarters units here. That's just for convenience, really. It cuts down the transit time.
Esme could imagine that in a ship this size, any hand-carried message could take a while to arrive. She had never been on a ship where the captain's office and the bridge were not near each other. On her way around the core, she passed another obvious headquarters, this one with a neat sign informing her that it was the Sector 14 Training Command, Admiral Levati commanding. Underneath were smaller signs. Senior Technical School's Admin Office, Senior Technical School's Assessment, Support Systems. She walked on, past the base of another wing, this one labeled T2. That was where she would be living, but she didn't have time to explore it now. On and on. And there ahead, she saw a large banner proclaiming 14th Heavy Maintenance Yard. The scrap will rise again. Below that, smaller signs directed the ignorant to the administrative offices. There, a bright-eyed pivot major sent her directly to the Admiral's Chief of Staff, Commander Adarin. He greeted Esme's appearance in a matter-of-fact way she found reassuring. He had already read her report on the inventory aboard the supply ship and seemed far more interested in that than her past.
We've been trying to nail our supplier on those leaky adhesive tubes for a couple of years, but we couldn't prove that the supplies were damaged before we got here. I'm glad old Scory, the XO on that supply ship, thought of having you go over the stock on your way here. We may finally get some leverage on him.
Yes, sir.
How much experience do you have with inventory control?
None, sir.
I'm impressed, then. Especially that you caught those fasteners. Most people give up after 50 or 60 items, or assume the computer will catch it. It's supposed to, of course. There's supposed to be automatic labeling right from the manufacturing machinery. Zero error, they keep claiming. Never have seen zero errors, though. Of course, could be someone from the IG's office putting little tests in our path to see if we're alert.
That possibility hadn't occurred to Esme, though sabotage had. But he hadn't been on despite.
Of course, it could also be enemy action, but I'd rather believe in stupidity than malice. Now, let's see. Your last duty was on a patrol craft. Your emphasis on your last few cruises was scan technology. Frankly, we have plenty of scan tech experts aboard now, all more experienced than you in the field. Would do you good to branch out, get some expertise in other ship systems.
Fine, sir.
Esme hoped it was fine. She knew she needed to learn about other systems, but was he just determined to keep her away from Scan because Scan was political?
Good. I expect most of you juniors think DSR is a bad assignment, but you'll discover that there's no better way to learn what really keeps ships operational. If you take advantage of it, this tour can teach you a lot.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to assign you to H&A first. Hull and architecture, that is. You'll find it a lot more complicated than your basic course at the Academy.
I expect so, sir.
You'll be working with Major Patak. She's on Deck 8, Portside Main, aft 3rd of T4. You can ask someone from there. Had time to stow your gear yet?
No, sir.
Well, technically you're not on duty until tomorrow, but...
I'll go see Major Patak, sir.
Good. Now, the Admiral will want to meet you, but he's tied up right now in a meeting, and I don't expect he'll be free until tomorrow or the next day. Check back with me and I'll set that up.
Yes, sir.